Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation. Recorded live during the May 2017 Youth Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
This is Scott Robley, and this is the Seven Habits track. The title of this course is Seven Habits, Highly Effective Teens. This is Synergy and Your Daily Private Victory. That's what we're going to kind of talk about today. So when you look at this idea of the Seven Habits, if you're with me this morning, we talked about the goal of the Seven Habits is to help us become the best we can, to move through what we call the maturity continuum, to move away from dependence to a place of independence and then to a place of interdependence, right? That's really what our Heavenly Father wants us to be, right? And we talked about that this morning. And today, right now, we're going to kind of talk about, you talked a little bit in the last class about synergy. I'm going to build upon that a little bit more because I want to spend a little more time because I think it's such a valuable principle because it really becomes the result. When you think about this maturity continuum, and we go from dependence, and we've got these three habits of the private victory, which helps me to create self-mastery. Righteousness says, listen, I'm in control. It's my life, so I'm proactive. I begin with the end in mind. I have a very clear vision of what I want to accomplish in this life, and then I put first things first. If you're doing that, then you come up from a place of independence, right? You kind of master yourself. But we all know that we weren't put on this earth to be individuals. We weren't. Matter of fact, our Heavenly Father put us on this earth, and he put us in what? Families, right? And in order for us to return to live with him, we can't do that on our own. Right, we need the help of each other. And so to do that, we have to move away from independence to a place of interdependence, right? Where we work together. And so this morning, we introduced the concept that we moved from a strong me to a more powerful we. And as you begin to have the attitude of thinking win-win, and you have the skill set of being able to listen empathically, to listen, to understand, and then to be understood, synergy kind of becomes the result. Right? Habit number six, synergy, is really the result of all the other habits put into play. So let's see if we can't talk about it for a minute. Now, we talked this morning also about paradigms, right? And the paradigms are the way that we see things. Because we don't see the world as it is, we see the world as we are. And for many of us, we have a limited paradigm, right? We talked about that this morning, how our own paradigms keep us, whether it be our paradigms of ourselves or paradigms of others or our paradigms of life. And so the common paradigm of habit number six is we say, let's compromise, right? We go for this, we herald this idea of compromise as a great thing. But in reality, it's not a great thing. It's not a bad thing. But if you think about a win-win mindset, what's the problem with the compromise? Somebody's what? Somebody's losing. So it's not the highest level. It's not the highest level of effectiveness. So when we talk about synergy, we're talking about a paradigm that says, let's come up with a better way. Let's come up with a higher way that's beyond anything we could have done on our own. And many of you experienced that if you were here in this last class where you had the shoes, where you experienced a different way of accomplishing something by working together. So let's kind of break synergy down a little bit. Now, let me know what synergy means. If you were to look synergy up in the dictionary, what is synergy? It's a big word. What do you think it means? Give me some ideas. I'm curious. What do you think? What do you think synergy is? You have to center. Ooh, got a centering. So centering on something. Okay, I like it. What do you think? Working together. I like the well part because sometimes working together cannot be very synergistic, right? So working together well. What do you think? Oh, that's great. If you didn't hear, she's talking about an example of pedaling on those paddle boats, right? And if you're pedaling the same, two people pedaling at the same time, you actually go faster than what if you were pedaling on opposite times, right? Both pedal. Excellent. Well, if you looked it up in the dictionary, this is the definition of synergy. It's when the sum total is greater than the individual sum of the parts. Okay? That's pretty big definition, so let me help you understand it. So I'll share an example. So I, as we mentioned, I have four sons. I have a 22-year-old son who's at BYU. I have a 20-year-old son who's on his mission in Des Moines, Iowa. I have a 16-year-old son, and I have a 7-year-old son, okay? And so my 16-year-old son, when he was very little, I used to brush his teeth. And now that he's 16, his mom does. Okay, and so now, but when he was really little, we had this little ritual where he would come into the bathroom, right? And I would kind of grab onto his ears, kind of like this. And then he would grab onto my forearms, and I would lift him up onto the bathroom counter, right? And then I would brush his teeth. Well, let's just say one day, I was in a little bit of a hurry. So I didn't give him the chance to grab onto my forearms. And so I literally lifted him up onto the bathroom counter by his head, right? And he says to me, he says, "Dad, you hurt my brain." Now, I'm a good father. I am. I said, "Oh, son, you don't have a brain." And he's like, "Yes, I do." I'm like, "No, I'm pretty sure you don't." He's like, "Yes, I do." I said, "Okay, then what is 1 + 1? He's like, "7. I'm like, "Connor, what's 1 + 1? 3. Connor, stop guessing. I said, "What is 1 + 1? He goes, "Oh, 11. Now, have you heard of the phrase, out of the mouths of babe? Right? That sometimes kids know things that they don't know that they know, right? So what he was teaching me is what synergy is. Remember, synergy is when the sum total is greater than the individual sum of the parts. It's where 1 plus 1 can equal 11. It's where 1 plus 1 can equal 100 or it can equal 1,000, right? Synergy is if you can lift 100 pounds and I can lift 1,000 pounds, because that's real. Then together, we can lift more than 1,100 pounds. That's synergy, right? If you're pedaling and I'm pedaling, but if we pedal together, then it's more than both of us by ourselves added together. Does that make sense? That's synergy, okay? So we're going to talk about what synergy is and how we leverage it. So if we keep this mathematical equation going, right? If synergy is 1 + 1 can equal whatever we want it to be, right? Then what would hostility look like? Hostility would be where 1 + 1 equals a -1, right? Because it's negative. When there's hostility, when there's contention, then 1 + 1 equals negative. We lose. So what would defensiveness look like? If we're working together and one of us becomes defensive, well, then 1 + 1 equals a half, right? We're not in the negative, but we're not in the positive either, right? Because there's defensiveness. And then we've already talked about compromise, and the problem with compromise, even though it sounds like such a good thing, right? Ah, we did it. We finally came to a compromise. Well, with a compromise, 1 + 1 equals what? It actually lists 1.5, because it's not, we've lost in it. Someone has given up something in order to settle or to come to a compromise. So we want to get the most out of our relationships. Interdependency, working together. We talked this morning about in Moses 7 where the Lord said he called his people what? Zion. He calls his people Zion. Why? Because they're of one heart and one mind. They dwelt in righteousness. There's no poor among them. They were synergistic, right? That's what Zion is all. Zion is synergy. And I love this quote. When you think about Helen Keller, she said, "Alone we can do little, but together we can do so much." How many of you have experienced that in your life? That by myself, right, I can do very little on my own. But together, I can do so much more. That's what synergy is all about. It's about getting more as we work together. So how many of you have noticed geese, that they fly in a V-shaped formation? Have you ever noticed that, right? Do you know why they do that? Huh? Do you know why? Absolutely. So that lead goose, right, this is one of those Brian Regan moments, geeses, gooses, right? Multiple geeses, right? That lead goose, right? When he's in the lead, did you know that? But when they fly in that formation, okay? Right, that first lead goose is taking all the headwind, right? So they're taking the headwind. And when they fly in this formation, they can actually fly 71% farther than if each bird flew by themselves. And it's not just the headwind, the taking on the resistance. You know, if you've seen that, sometimes in racing they do what's called drafting, right? You let the person kind of get behind that person, let them take on the wind. You'll see sometimes in long distance races, they'll actually take turns, right? Because it does take a little more effort to be the one taking that resistance. But it's not just the resistance that they're taking. That what happens is when the geese flap their wings, what does it do? it actually creates an updraft, right? That makes it literally easier for the other birds behind to fly. So they're able to fly 71% further simply by flying in that V formation. You have a thought?
I was just going to say, because I've always watched geese and having them in their V formation, but then I noticed that like they would change who was in the front, and I always thought like the front was like the leader, and I was like, are they like having a fight?
It's my turn. Yeah, it's like no, he always gets to be the leader. How come who picked him, right? Yeah. No, they're taking turns, right? After a while, the one goose, they'll swap spots because it does. It takes more energy for the one out in front. A couple other things that happen during this, right? As the lead goose, you just mentioned, as the lead goose gets tired, they actually switch places so they were able to maintain the benefit, because otherwise that lead goose gets so tired that it's not beneficial anymore because they're slowing down, right? But also this, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but in the geese there in the back, they honk. Now, unlike in New York when we honk, okay, there's different reasons, right? And I've traveled and done a lot of visiting in New York, and I've learned the language of New York City, right? When you're in a car, short honk, courtesy. Long honk, profanity. Yeah, that's so. It's like people are like, I'm like, whoa, watch your mouth. I got kids in the car. Holy cow, right? But when we honk in New York, there's a different reason. But the geese, when they're honking, guess what they're doing? They're encouraging. They're giving encouragement to the goose that's in the front, that's kind of taking the headwind, right? Isn't this a powerful example of synergy? And here's the other interesting thing. When a goose falls out of formation, let's say it gets sick or gets wounded, when it falls out of formation, guess what happens? At least two other geese go with it. And they stay with that goose until the goose either gets better or it dies. And then when it does, then they either create their own or they find another V formation and to catch up with the rest of the group. But you'll never see a goose all by itself unless it's really, really sick or it's dying, right? But even then, they live in this synergistic mindset. So when we think about synergy, synergy is a lot of things, okay? And we're going to try to help us understand it, because I really believe if we can get good at synergy, we can be much more effective in our lives. And we learned this morning that effectiveness is about getting the kind of results we want today in such a way that we can get even better results in the future. In other words, it's being better today than I was yesterday and better tomorrow than I am today. That's effectiveness. And synergy helps me do that. So synergy is a lot of things. It's celebrating differences. We're going to talk about that. You had a little experience for those that were here this last class. We'll talk a bit more about that. It's also about teamwork. It's an open-mindedness. And it's an ability to find new and better ways. That's really what synergy is really all about. I'm going to play sports, okay? If you've played sports, then what we call it in sports is we call it chemistry, right? When you look at some of the most successful teams in any sport, right, that what makes them so successful isn't so much the fact that they've got great talent, right? That doesn't hurt. Matter of fact, we've watched, you know, over the course of the last few years where professional teams will try to stack a team with a bunch of really strong athletes. Years ago, Karl Malone left the Utah Jazz in chase of a championship, and he went to the Los Angeles Lakers, where he teamed up with Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, and another superstar named Gary Payton went to Los Angeles as well, all in the quest to win a championship. Did they ever win a championship? They didn't. We've watched others gather together, and you'd think instantly they're going to have these great dynasties, right? These all-star teams, right? But it's not about the all-stars. It's about synergy. It's about everybody understanding their role, everybody doing their part. It's the chemistry of a team that makes them successful. If you're following the NBA right now, you're looking at and you're watching this incredible Golden State Warrior team with four all-stars, right? Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond, all. But the reality, it's not about the all-stars. It's about all the players and how they play together. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite examples of synergy was when I was 10 years old. 1980. Yes, I'm old, okay? 1980. Anybody seen the movie Miracle? Two people, all of you repent. Everyone repent right now and go home and watch the movie Miracle, one of the best movies of all time. It's a true story. Okay? It's about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team. And this is back in the day when they didn't have professional athletes. Well, we didn't have professional athletes competing in the Olympics. The other countries did, but we've now switched and we bring professionals and whatnot. But this was a bunch of college kids. And up to this point, for the last six Olympics, the Russians dominated, won the gold. They were the best hockey team in the world, bar none. And this coach takes on the assignment. He wants to be the coach, and he wants to beat the Russians. And he was kind of laughed at. Oh, you want to beat them? If we could just hang with them and not be embarrassed by them, that would be our goal. Matter of fact, just before this Olympics, the Russian hockey team came over and annihilated our NHL, our professional hockey all-star team. They took the best professional hockey players in the United States, put them against the Russians, and they killed them, right? The Russians just dumped. And so all of a sudden, they get a bunch of college kids, okay, from all over the country, many of which were competing against each other. They were rivals, right, trying to fight for national champions and stuff. And they gather together for a week's worth of tryouts, okay? A week's worth of tryouts. We're going to choose who's going to be on this Olympic team that's going to go try to chase a gold medal against the Russians. Day one, the coach, Herb Brooks, he gives a list to his assistant coach, Coach Craig. And the Coach Craig looks at the list and he says, "What is this?" He says, "That's my team." And he's like, "What do you mean? We still got a whole week's worth of tryouts." And he says this. He says, "And you've left some of the best players off the list." And then he said this. He said, "I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right ones. I'm looking for the ones who will play within a system, who will understand what it means to be on a team, right? To play for each other." And as he picked this team, it took him a while to figure some things out. Matter of fact, they would fight all the time in practice. Literally fight, like fist fight, right? And because this was a team of hockey players from all over the country, he would often ask them, "What's your name?" And they would say their name. And he'd say, "Who do you play for?" And they'd say the college for which they play for. Well, as they were beginning their training, getting ready for the Olympics, they were in Sweden, and they were playing in a game in Sweden. And they weren't very focused. They were kind of more paying attention to the Swedish girls and all the things and all that stuff. And after the game, right, coach notices this. And he's like, "Hey," as they're heading off the ice, he says, "No, get back on the ice." Right? And so he starts, "Okay, if you don't want to play in the game, we're going to play now. Right? If you're not going to give your effort." And so he says, "Go." And they start, if you've ever played in sport, where you run lines, they're skating lines, back and forth, running, skating lines again. And he says, again, and he just keeps them going. And they just played a full game. And the other coach and the physician of the team's like, "Coach, what are you doing?" He says, "Just keep going, again. And they were literally exhausted, throwing up, because they were just gone beyond their physical capacities. And finally, one of the players shouts his name. He says, "Mike Aruzioni." And the coach says, "Who do you play for?" And he says, "I play for the United States of America." And he says, "You can go in." You see, they didn't understand. They were not playing for each other. They were playing for themselves. They weren't playing for their country. And once they bought in to the system, once they realized what they were doing, and they began skating for each other, they began to have success. Now, it would have been a really great story if they would have got to play the Russians in the championship, the gold medal round, but they didn't. They drew the Russians in the semifinals, right? And in a great speech to his team, right, he says, "Great moments are born of great opportunities." And that's what we have tonight. He says, "We play them 10 times, and they beat us 9. But not tonight. Tonight is our night. Tonight we will beat them. I'm tired of them. It's our night. We're going to now go out and take it." And they did. They beat the unbeatable Russians. And then the next night, they won the next game and took home the gold. They call it the miracle on ice. I love that story because it's such a good example of what synergy is all about. It's about knowing what your synergy is about, not just being on the same team, but on the same team, working for the same goals, having the same clear end in mind. You will see in the hand that I gave you, that I've just given you a diagram that's a path for synergy. And that path for synergy begins, number one, with my willingness. They weren't willing at first, right? And once they became willing, once they had a clear end in mind, once they understood what they're working for, and Ruzioni became their captain, and they realized that one of the things that the coach always taught them was that the name on the front of the jersey was more important than the name on the back of the jersey, right? It's USA. It's not your last name. That's not what we're skating for. That's not what we're fighting for. Synergy is about knowing what you're fighting for, right? It's about understanding that. And when you have that clear in mind, and then you begin to understand what it takes to get to synergy, it really comes down to really valuing and celebrating differences. You had a little bit of an activity with the presenter before, where you kind of went around and were looking at the differences of other people. And I want to build upon that a little bit. You know, when I taught seminary, I taught seminary for 20 years. And none of this early morning stuff, I don't do very well in the morning. I got to teach, you know, release time seminary. I started in Payson, Utah. I got to open a release time program in Alaska. It was awesome. Spent 7 years there. Went to American Fork, Utah for a couple of years. Taught in Pleasant Grove. Opened a charter school at Mazur Academy in Linden. And then I decided to go do some other things. But when I would teach seminary, I did this little activity that every semester and at the beginning of every year with my students. I called it exactly the same but different. And what I did is I created like 15 statements. And if you were in our stake, we did this activity. Okay, we did this activity as a stake when I was the stake women's president there in North Carolina. And what it was is there's 15 statements. Things like, I prefer crunchy or creamy peanut butter. I'd rather be at Disneyland or Hawaii, right? I drink water or soda. Read a book, watch a movie. You know, Duke or North Carolina. All these different things, you know, just facts about who you were, right? And then you'd answer those facts. And then what you did is you went around with all the other kids in the class and you would match, compare answers. So you'd go up and say, what's your name? Oh, get to know each other. And we'd go through the answers and say, oh, we've got 8 things in common. That means we have 7 differences. And then we kind of go around the room. They gave about 25 minutes, and they just did this activity. And then after they got to know each other, they thought it was a get-to-know-you activity, which it kind of was. But it was so much more than that. Because then I would say at the end, I said, okay, now really quickly, who thinks they had the most in common, right? And then someone raised their hand. We had 13 things in common, right? And only and 2 differences. That's remarkable. I mean, of all those, they have 13. That's pretty cool, right? Then I'd say, okay, who had the most differences? And one time I was in a class, and these kids raised their hand, and they said, we had 14 differences. We only had 1 income. Now, that's pretty hard, right? That's hard to do, right? With just little silly statements. I mean, what are the chances, right? And so as we talked about it, I said, now here's the deal in this class. And I believe it's not just a deal in my class. It's a deal in life. Right? I said, in my class, when we're here together, we rejoice in our similarities. We rejoice in the fact we've got a lot in common. We have a lot of things in common here in this room, right? If we took the time to get to know each other, we would find that we have a lot of similarities. And we rejoice in that. That's a good thing. We build upon those common beliefs and common likes, but we celebrate the differences. Do I want a classroom full of the exact same people? No. Why not? It's boring. Not only is it boring, but it's limiting. Because we all have different strengths. We all bring different things to the table. I value the fact that you're different than me. And I'm not just talking about valuing differences like ethnical differences or religious differences, although very important. But sometimes the hardest differences to celebrate are you're messy and I'm organized. Or you're a big picture person, I'm a detail person, right? All right, there's a lot of things, but there's value in each and every one of our strengths. And so here's what I want to do. I want to do a little activity with you. And this comes right out of the book of 7 Habits of Highly Effective. You're going to need a piece of paper for this activity. If I would have been really ahead of the game, which I'm not as good as all the other presenters, I would have had this in the handout. So I apologize that I don't have this in the handout. So find a blank piece of paper, okay? And for this blank piece of paper, we're going to find out, are you a grape? Are you an orange? Are you a banana? Or are you a melon? Okay? And all of you are going, those are my choices. Really, those are my choices. Yes, that's what we're going to do really quickly. Okay? We're going to find out, are you a grape, an orange, a banana, or a melon? Now, you're going to need to create 4 columns. Okay? So you're going to have 4 columns on your piece of paper. So if I was drawing this on mine, I'll come over here. Okay? So just 4 columns, okay? Now, as we do this little activity, you're going to do a little assessment to figure out if you're a grape, an orange, a banana, or a melon, okay? So here's how it's going to work. And you look up here on my screen, you will see. Now, here's what I'm going to give you a little caveat here. I don't want you to write down all the words, okay? Because you can look this up online, right? You could literally Google search grape, orange, banana, melon quiz, and you'll pull this up. So don't worry about having to copy it all down, all that kind of stuff. Or if you want to be really creative, just take a picture with your camera on your phone, right? That's a great way to do it, right? You're fine to do that, okay? But again, for the sake of time, don't be writing all this stuff down. We're just going to kind of take the little assessment. The way the assessment works is this. For each column, as you can see up here, I look at the words across the screen, right? I go horizontally. And I look at imaginative, investigative, realistic, and analytical. And I ask myself, which of those am I most like? Right? That really is me. And I'm going to make sure I do my scoring right. Hang on a second. Because if I get the wrong score, then it's going to mess us up. Yes, okay, I was right. Okay. And you're going to give that a 4. Okay, so the higher score, if you say of these first four, you're going to say, which one is the most like me? So I would say I'm probably more imaginative than I am. That's a 4. And then next would be I'm probably realistic and then investigative, and I'm not very analytical. Okay, and I give that a 1. Okay, and I'm going to do that for every single line. So now I'm going to adaptable, inquisitive, organized, and critical. And I give it a score, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I'm going to do that for all those. And then once I do that, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to add that number up in each of these columns, right? And I'm going to get a score down here for each one of the columns. Does that make sense? So I'm going to give you just quick 5 minutes. Could do this really quickly. You have 5 minutes. Don't overthink this. This is just kind of your initial thought. And kind of don't overanalyze. Unless you have a 4 for analytical, then you probably would do that, right? So just take a quick 5 minutes and give yourself a quick assessment. Again, go across the board for each row, rate them 4, 3, 2, 1. 4 is most like me, 1 is least like me. I feel like I should be playing some music for the audio people who are like not doing this. Right? Maybe we should be more appropriate. Bum, bum. Did I mention I was the primary chorister for 4 years? Yes, one of my favorite callings. Again, go quick. Don't overthink this. Just kind of look at it. Just kind of give you a quick initial. This isn't going to define you by any means. This isn't going to determine what kingdom you're going to be in, right? We're not going to assign, grapes don't go to celestial kingdom, bananas go to outer darkness, you know, okay? We're just trying to a quick little assessment, just kind of a gut check of ourselves, right? Looking across each one of those. And it's interesting because some of them, they don't relate as well. So sometimes it makes it a little bit more difficult to kind of make that decision, right? Which one am I more like, right? And again, don't choose poorly because you do not want to end up in outer darkness, right? You know, geez, that would be terrible. Right? So how'd you get there? Oh, I chose competitive over cooperative. And so now I got labeled an orange. So now I'm here. All right? Just saying it describes you. How you describe yourself, that's not necessarily how other people would describe you. Right? Like I would probably describe myself as quite intellectual. And yet, just the other day, my wife told my 7-year-old she did not marry a smart man. Now, fortunately for me, my 7-year-old tells me everything. Yeah, Mom said she wouldn't marry a really smart guy. How are we doing? Getting close? Again, as you're looking at each one of these lists, you're asking yourself, which of these, across the horizontal line, which of those four is most like me, is better describes me? 4 is a higher, it says more like me, 1 is less like me. And then when you're done, there should be, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 14 of them, so you should have 14 numbers in each column. And when you finish, now you get your real test of your math skills. You're going to add up those numbers and come up with a score down on the bottom, okay? You missed a row? Don't worry about it. Then if you've missed one, then just add up third. Just add the. It's fine. Just doesn't matter because when you add it up, we're going to look at which column has the higher score. So it's not going to really matter whether or not you have got all of them. So if you've missed one row, that's okay. But if you missed a column, that's a whole different story. That's gonna mess up your score big time. Okay, are we getting close? Are we adding things up? Should be adding them up by now. Quickly add up your score. Okay, here's what I'm going to have you do. Wherever you are, stop. Okay, even if you're not finished, stop and add up your scores. Okay, it doesn't matter if you've got the, because it doesn't really matter, right? What's going to matter is when you add up the scores, that's going to be the most important thing. So even if you don't have all 14 rows, that's fine wherever you are, but just make sure you're not adding the two numbers to one column and not the other column. So just stop at the last one, add up your scores really quickly, okay? So as you take a look at your scores and add them up, okay, here's what you're going to do. If your highest score of the four scores is in column number one, then you need to consider yourself a grape, okay? If column number one was your highest score, you were a grape. If column number two was your higher score, you are an orange. If column number three was your higher score, you are a banana. And if column four was your highest score, you are a melon. Did not mean to say that at all, okay? So where are my grapes? Grapes, raise your hands. Let me see you. Grapes, woo, good job. Where are my bananas? Bananas, oranges?
Woo!
Aren't you glad you're an orange? Yeah. Okay, and melons. You got any melons here? Okay, so really quick. So now you kind of know, let me tell you quickly about yourself really quick. Grapes. Now I'm going to go really fast. And you, by the way, when you go Google this, you can just Google grape, orange, banana, melon quiz, and you'll get all the stuff that's there. So if you're a grape, well, guess what? Your natural abilities include things like being reflective and sensitive and flexible, creative. You prefer working in groups. Grapes learn best when they can work and share with others, balance work with play. They can communicate. They're non-competitive. Grapes have trouble giving exact answers, focusing on one thing at a time, organizing. You're going, I am a grape, right? And then to expand their style, grapes, you need to be a little more attention to details, not rushing to things, be less emotional when making some of those decisions, right? So that's you as a grape. Oranges, want to learn about yourself really quickly?
Yeah.
Okay, oranges, here's the deal. Your natural abilities are experimenting, you're independent, you're curious, you create different approaches, you create change, right? You learn best when you can use trial and error, you produce real products, you can compete, you're self-directed, have trouble meeting time limits, right? You follow a lecture, you have a hard time doing that, you have a few options or choices. To expand yourself, oranges, you need to look for ways to delegate responsibility, be more accepting of others' ideas, and learn to prioritize, okay? Bananas, here's the deal. Your natural abilities include planning, fact-finding, organizing, following directions. You're best when you learn best when you have an orderly environment. You have specific outcomes. You trust others to do their part. You have a very predictable situation. You like that. You may have trouble understanding feelings or dealing with opposition, answering those what-if questions. And bananas, to expand yourself, look for opportunities to express your feelings more. Get explanations of others' views. Be less rigid. And for my melons, where are my melons? For my melons, here's the deal. Your natural abilities are debating points of view, finding solutions, analyzing ideas, determining value or importance. You learn best when you have an abundance of resources. You work independently. You can be respected for your intellectual ability. And if you follow those traditional methods of learning, you have trouble working in groups, being criticized, convincing others diplomatically. And you wanted to expand yourselves. You need to accept imperfection, consider all the alternatives, and consider others' feelings. So really quickly, why would we take a minute to do this? What's the point? We're talking about synergy. What's the point?
To help you know how to work with other fruit people.
Yeah, because guess what? Here's the cool thing about a fruit salad, okay? Here's the really cool thing about fruit salad. You put all the fruit together and guess what?
It's good.
It's good, but each fruit maintains its own flavor. Right? You put a bunch of fruit and mix it up into a fruit salad and you pull out a grape, what does it taste like? It tastes like a grape, right? Unless you put it in a smoothie, then you bananas are way too dominant. You bananas take over a smoothie, right? You put a banana in a smoothie and it's like, this tastes like banana. What? I thought I put raspberries in here. No, banana's like, I'm in here, right? So we have to realize we all contribute, right? We're all different. We need to celebrate the fact that we're different. And here's the other thing I'll let you know. Sometimes I watch our young people, particularly during those dating years, and we take this beautiful orange of a young woman who's frustrated that no boys are giving her any attention, right? That she's not getting the attention of the boys. All they want, there's all those grapes, right? They want the grapes. And no one, but here's the deal. See, one day, someone's going to come into the store, and they're going to be looking for a what? They're going to want an orange. And you're going to be there, right? See, it's not about, you're comparing yourself, and like it's not, guess what? It's not that they don't want you. They're just looking for what? They want a grape, right? They're looking for bananas. They're looking for melons. But there's going to come a time, right, when this beautiful young lady says she'll take a melon. Okay? When everyone else wanted grapes and oranges. And I'm so grateful that my wife wants a melon. Because okay? I got one. Right? The other part of synergy is this ability to find new ways. As you, some of you experienced with the shoe activity. How many of you are studying the Great Compromise? You remember what the Great Compromise is? Who remembers what it is? Come on. What is it? What's the Great Compromise?
It's where they made both the House of Representatives.
Yeah, so we had two situations, right? We had to say, William Paterson created the New Jersey Plan, where he said, hey, listen, we need equal representation. Right? He says, listen, it doesn't matter what size the states are, but every state deserves an equal voice. Well, then James Madison, he has the Virginia Plan. He says, whoa, no, that's not going to work because you're just a small state. We can't have equal representation because we're bigger than you. We should have representation based upon population. So they sat together and they sat it down. They came up with the Great Compromise. And the Great Compromise created two branches, right? We have a Senate that provides equal representation, and we have the House of Representation, a representative that has representation by population. And it's funny, we call this the Great Compromise. It really should be called the Great what? It should be called the Great Synergy, right? Because it wasn't a compromise at all. Both parties won, right? It was a win-win situation. It was very synergistic in nature. And as we begin to seek these different ways, these higher ways of doing things, there's a pattern. And that pattern is we define the problem. We look at what their way might be. We look at what our way might be. Then we begin to brainstorm things together, and we come up with what we call the highway or the higher way. Probably my favorite example of this is if you go into the Book of Mormon. What's the problem in 1 Nephi chapter 3? You know what the problem is?
Go get the plates.
Go get the plates, right? Dad says, had a dream. Go get the plates. Isn't it interesting, though, when Dad says you got to go back and get daughters, they're like, okay, we're going, right? There wasn't a single murmur. Not one of them murmured about having to go all the way back to Jerusalem to get the daughters of Ishmael. But go get the, seriously, the place we got to go back, right? That was the problem. So when they decided what they're going to do, what was the first solution? What was Laman's solution? He drew the straw. Let's go ask him, right? His way was that let's go ask him for the place. How'd that work out? Yeah, not so good, right? Laman had to escape with his life. So then Nephi says, okay, I've got my, you tried your way, I've got my way. And what was his way? No, that wasn't his way. Yeah, his way is, hey, look, we got all the stuff we left behind, right? Let's go give them all the stuff and they'll give them the money. It's a win-win, right? That's a great idea. So they take the stuff. King Laban says, oh, that's a good idea. Thank you for your stuff. Kill them, right? Didn't work. So they have to go back to the drawing board. They began to brainstorm. Matter of fact, it said they counseled together. But it was Nephi who had inspiration that just said this. You know what? I don't know. I just trust that I'll be led by the Spirit. And it says in 1 Nephi chapter 4, that I was led by the Spirit, not what? Not knowing beforehand what. And a higher way came about. True synergy, right? The Lord's way. That's in many cases, that's what we're looking for. To me, that's what synergy is. It's not your way. It's not my way. It's the Lord's way. That's what we're trying to get to, right? That's what synergy really is all about. The last habit, habit number 7, it surrounds all the others. It's called sharpen the saw. Maybe you've had this experience when you were little, where Christmas morning, so excited, anxious to see if you got that gift that you asked for, right? And you rip open the wrapping paper, and there it is. It's exactly what you've wanted, and you're so excited, only to notice fine print on the front bottom right-hand part of the box, it says.
No.
Anybody have that experience? Second grade. Tyco race car track set, right? No batteries. Santa! But I can't even use this wonderful gift, right? I share that because habit number 7 is really the batteries to all the others. Sharpening the saw is about taking care of ourselves, right? Taking care of the one instrument that we have to deal with life. And this is it. This is all we get, right? Now, obviously, some have better instruments than others. Sorry. But the reality is we have to take care of these instruments. We have to take care of ourselves. Abraham Lincoln says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. Because why? Anybody used a dull saw or a dull axe? Oh, mess paint. It doesn't work, right? Dr. Covey said, the single most powerful investment we can ever make in life is investment in ourselves. And the only instrument we have with which to deal with the life and to get rid of it, that's this. The best investment we can ever make is to invest in ourselves. President Kennedy said, the time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining. Right? When things are going well, that's when we need to take care of ourselves. And we need to make sure that, you know, we don't know a lot about the Savior's young childhood. The only thing we really know is in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, where it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You see, even as a young child, he had balance in his life. And we need to make sure that as we're sharpening the saw, we're taking the time to do the exact same thing, that we're creating balance, that we have balance, that we're taking care of ourselves mentally and spiritually and physically and emotionally, that we're taking care of our hearts and our brains and our minds and our bodies. Because here's the deal. We need to take care of us so there's more of us to give to those that demand so much of us. Man, I'm so grateful for the opportunities that we have to be on this earth, for the opportunities to grow, to work together, to have those synergistic moments where we can be one together in purpose and mind and heart, to kind of experience that Zion. Please make sure you're taking time to take care of yourselves. Fortunately, for most of you, you're kind of doing that. You're studying, you got school, you got sports, you got things, but make sure there's balance. Don't forget the spiritual side. Don't forget to make sure you're taking care and reading your scriptures, doing all the things you need to be doing, and creating that balance in your life. And I promise that as you do that, then you'll be becoming more and more like our Heavenly Father. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, guys. What's next?
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.